So the reading, yes, is from Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. That's the Lord's answer to the army of locusts, and you'll find that on page 913 of the church Bibles. Page 913. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I'm sending you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea. And its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm. My great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, for he has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
Thank you, Tim, for bringing that reading for us. We are now studying the book of Joel, one of the minor prophets. Last Sunday, we were meditating about the challenge the Judeans faced due to the invasion of the locusts. So the people, the land, and the entire nation was captivated by the atrocity of this locust swarm. So there was a need, a desperate need, for a deliverance from that locust plague. Joel, the prophet, he was interpreting that challenge in religious terms. And he announced for a remedy plan for the people to come to his temple with the prayerful, repentant hearts in reaction to this dire event of the locust. To some extent, this locust plague can be related to the greatest plague of London in 1665 to 1666. And it killed almost an estimated amount of like 100,000 people. Almost a quarter of the population in the London city within 18 months. The reason for this plague was due to Yersinia pestis bacterium. It is transmitted through the bite of an infected rat flea. Samuel Pepys, who was the admiral during that period, he has written this quote in his diary. "Great fears of the sickness here in the city. God preserve us all." What were the emergency measures that were taken during that plague time? There were some precautionary steps, like quarantining the ships that were coming from different parts of the Europe, quarantining people, those who were under suspicion, and raising the severe borders check to and from London, and the areas though, wherever it was affected by the plague, the houses were closed, and the householders were given the responsibility to tidy up their house in and around their places. And there was a limitations in the staying of lodges in individual houses, and the constables, police constables, were given charge to go and inspect the places and arrest people, those who violate these rules, because it is necessary. So these were the emergency procedures that were taken during the plague time. Samuel Pepys was saying, "God preserve us all." Joel, in this book, he is calling for an emergency procedure, asking people to come and worship the Lord. This prayer, what Joel is describing here, is already mentioned in Solomon's prayer. In 1 Kings chapter 8, if you read it, Solomon, he asked for people to come to the temple, to the house of prayer, to stand in its court and spreading their arms in supplication towards the temple, so as towards God who enshrined there. That was a spiritual resolution. Joel was taking that at that time of period. Well, he was asking two kinds of prayer, he mentioned. Prayer to exalt his name. How to exalt his name in prayer? He was announcing for a national holy fasting and prayer. He was calling the elders and children, bride and groom, priest and congregation to come and assemble before the Lord in prayer. Prayer is a powerful weapon, and we believers need to carry that in our daily life. Prayer, it strengthens us that God the Almighty is living in us. Prayer that gives us confidence constantly that the Almighty is beside us wherever we go. Prayer, it encourages us that the great God is our helper and we can trust in Him all the time. So Joel's motive for the congregational prayer is to submit all the troubles the nation has faced during this locust swarm and asking God to provide deliverance from that devastating situation. But in this prayer, he has mentioned something specifically different, and he has added one more thing which is very significant for us to take. He says, spare your people, Lord, do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? It is like praying to God, saying that, Lord, I know that you are able to solve any kind of devastating situation in my life, but in delivering me through that way, I want that deliverance to happen in such a way that your name be exalted. Not only seeking for deliverance from troubles, but have a passionate in exalting God's name. It is typical in the prayer what the Lord Jesus has taught us. It starts with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your name be exalted. Let your name be praised everywhere. Let your name be glorified. Yes, the difficulties, the troubles, everything is there. Spare your people, Lord. But I don't want the other people, the non-believers, to say how their God has put them down. I don't want them to say that your name is under vain because we are caught up in troubles. It is good to go before God with a list of prayers and wants. But a mature believer's prayer would be surrendering themselves to God and asking God to reign in their life and asking God to exemplify God's power through their ups and downs. If God is glorified through our high times, we need to say, praise the Lord, this is what happening for me to testify what you have done in my life. If God is glorified through our down times, in our difficult times, praise God for that. And tell God and tell to people around, even I go through this difficulty, my God the deliverer, he will deliver me. He is in control of my situation. He will be taking care of me. We need to always exalt God's name in prayer and in our life every day. Before I came to this ministry, I was working in the Imperial College, as most of you know by now. And during that time, I had a redundancy from my job. But during that redundant period, I should say that I heard God's calling specifically for his ministry. Come, follow me. I heard that clearly. It was a prayer at that time I made to God. I said, Lord, I am happy. If you are going to lead me, I am happy to follow you. I can surrender everything and come before you. But if I come to you now, during this redundancy period, some might think that since she has not got any jobs to do, she has chosen this God's ministry. So I told God, Lord, I don't want your name to be in vain, even in your calling. I want your name to be glorified. So, please give me a job better than what I was doing before. I will take up the job and do that, and then I will resign the job and come back for the ministry. It is like playing with God, but God loves us playing with him. And It was exactly happened like that. He gave me a job better than before, and I took the job. When I was there, after a year, he had to remind me the deal he has made with me. So I said, yes, I'm coming. So during that time, when I was sharing my testimony with the people, especially with the non-believers, they said that, wow, you left the job. Because for them it is more important. They said, you left the job completely, not even part-time. So you are going for God's ministry. Oh, that's how you serve God. Oh, that's fine. So let us, in every situation, we might be facing different situations in our lives. In every situation, let us make an objective. Whatever happens, I want to exalt your name, Lord. And that was what Joel was saying. I don't want the people to say, where is their God? I want you to be exalted, Lord. And then the second part in the prayer, apart from the usual prayer, there was a central line going through the prayer, as like in the Lord's Prayer. When we say, Lord, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It is approaching God with the true penitence. Joel was mentioning here, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offering and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Return to the Lord your God, and he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. Return, you return, and he may turn. It is an organic link between the divine and the humanity. You return first from all your sinful behaviors. You return first to him from all the iniquities or all the past mischievous things, and he may then turn to you. It is a pivotal relationship between God and the people. There are returning signal, which is what God was looking for. It would trigger his own turning. We should not ignore a simple question that has been asked in between these two sentences. Who knows? He may turn. Who knows it? It is all in his hands. It is up to him to decide. We are not here to order him. We are not here to say him how he needs to deliver us. He is in control of all situations. We are not here to say what God needs to do. Whether he delivers or not, the first prime task for us is to rend our hearts and return to God. In the Old Testament, we might have read people like kings and judges, and even the Israelites and Judeans, whenever they face some difficulties in their life, this is their usual doing. They rend their garments and they put ashes above their heads and they mourn for weeks, days or months to show their grievance to God. God is not interested in that external tearing, external rending of our garments, external appearance, external way of doing things. We might claim that I go to church every Sunday. That is an external way of doing things. But it supports, it encourages one another. It is a must. But he is interested also in the internal repentance. inner heart-rending process. And God is asking us, not only tearing your garments, rend your hearts. Come with the true repentance. After all doing this, exalting God in our down times and rending our hearts with the full of repentance, Joel is promising two portions of deliverances. We can call that as blessings. We can call that as promises. But they are the deliverances. He says that if we do all these kind of prayer, our God is rich in love. He is compassionate with heart. He is not there to see whether we are ticking the box or not. He is beyond that. One deliverance he is mentioning about the immediate deliverance, the localized deliverance, and it is about the physical restoration. After all the invasion of the locust swarm, the land has dried, there was no rain, there was no harvest for people. That is the immediate deliverance God is promising here. I will restore you. And the second deliverance, it is a long-term deliverance. It is a total restoration. It is a spiritual restoration. In the physical restoration, if you read verses between 21 and 27 of Joel chapter 2, he specifically says that I will repay you. Whatever you have lost, I will repay you in the years coming. Your oil will not run out. Your grains will be overflowing. You will be seeing vines and fruits everywhere. So that was the blessing he was giving to the people of Judea. Don't worry, my child. I am going to restore you. You have cried unto me. And all your lamenting period are going to over. And I am going to restore you. Come with repentance heart. I will deliver you. So the land, it is an essential measures for the people to live. And it was a parched land after all this locust invasion. And God is promising here, he will open the skies. And the earth will receive rain, both in autumn and spring. And the harvest will be plenty. And the harvest will meet out the needs of animals and also the people of Zion. More or less, God is talking here about the land-based theology. Because the land was a barometer for measuring the relationship between God and the people during that time. So God is providing that blessing. Yes, you take it. You have prayed unto me. I am interested in your life on this earth as well. I am giving you. Take it. And then he is saying, all your nightmares are going to be over. And the cry of laments will be replaced with hallelujahs. We must have experienced similar deliverances in our life. God is able to turn our situation upside down. Every one of us who is sitting here will have a testimony to share. We might have experienced deliverances from our financial crisis. We might have experienced deliverances from our health issues. We might have experienced deliverances from our relationship issues. But remember that every time when we were going through such a difficulty, it is like traveling through the dark tunnel. We must have waited or even now waiting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Once we realize that the phase of that darkest period has come to an end, instantly, our lips will say, praise you, Lord. That's what Joel is saying here. I will provide you everything, and I know you will say, I'll praise you, Lord. This was a physical restoration. And in spiritual restoration, Joel is promising that God is going to outpour His Spirit on all kinds of people, regardless of sex, age, or class. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And the maid servants and men servants will prophesy God. So that was the spirit of prophecy. He has promised that I will outpour you on the days coming. This was what picked up by our Peter, the apostle, on the day of Pentecost, that the outpouring of the Spirit, he mentioned in Acts 2, if you read it, he says that the Joel's promise has become true. Today, when the Spirit was pouring out on the 120 disciples standing there, everybody was prophesying. God's word is essential for our life. And the prophetical spirit is poured out on all men and women for us to understand what God is mentioning in the scripture, for us to communicate what God is telling us in our everyday life. And the second part of the spiritual restoration, he was saying that you will see some signs in the sky. The sun will become darkened and the moon will turn into blood. Some people, they say that they have already, this promise has already been fulfilled. When Jesus was died on this earth, the whole place was darkened for 3 hours. So they claim that the sun was turned into dark, the promise was fulfilled. It is not that. The promise is yet to be fulfilled. According to Jesus' statements, he says that these are the signs for the end of days, when he is going to come again as a second coming. We will see all these signs. People sometimes misunderstand and say that the signs in the sky, wise men following the star, the fact they say that the astrology is all right. They followed the star and they saw the child, so the astrology is all right. But it is not correct. Astrology believes that the position of the sky that influences the baby, the moment of the birth. But in Bethlehem, the position of the baby was influencing the star in the sky. When Jesus died on this earth, the sun was darkened. So whenever the significant events happening on this earth, this will be responded in the signs of the sky. So we are not governed by heavens, but the heaven is governed by God. And the third one, he was mentioning about salvation. Though Joel was a Old Testament prophet, you can see many of his principles in these three chapters. A new covenant principled man. God has poured out his spirit on him with new covenant principles. When he was saying, come with the true repentance, not tearing your outward thing. When he was saying that, exalt his name whenever the situation, even if it goes wrong. All those things like new covenant principles. And now he is saying, salvation. Rarely spoken in the Old Testament. Joel, he mentioned, if you call out to God, to whom God has called, you are saved. Sometimes we think the salvation is a mystical process. Once the nation is saved, all people in the nation are saved. It is not like that. God calls people and in turn we need to call him. That is a two-way process. So God is calling here with the full arms outstretched. Come to me, my child. I am here for you. If you are thirsty, come to me. If you are broken, come to me. If you have difficulties, come to me. I have that heart. I will save you. And the saving was completed when Jesus died on that cross. He is going to come again. We are all waiting for his second coming. Are we prepared? Are we ready for that? When we are going to take communion after a few minutes, think about the salvation power of Christ. How he has saved us with full of love and grace. We could partake in his holy communion. And until his second coming, we are going to proclaim that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is going to come and he is my Lord.